this area, dating, ought to be a real result of other things you do in your Christian life. But this is not one of the basic areas of the Christian life. In other words, once you get your scripture memory and your quiet time, and if you're really growing in the Christian life, then dating will be a lot of fun and it'll really be meaningful to you in your Christian life. But if you don't get these other areas in your Christian life down, then dating will not be what it should be in your Christian life. It'll be a detractor rather than something that really adds real meaning and real inspiration in your Christian life. I know one of the most inspiring things that happened to me recently was I really put a girl in a bad situation. I wasn't dating or anything, but I just asked her a question in front of some of her friends and really embarrassed her. And I should have never have asked it. I was 100% in the wrong. And she just, she got this, I knew I was wrong as soon as I said it. And because she got this little hurt look on her face and then just answered it in one short sentence. And later on, a couple of days later, I happened to come up to her, and she asked me forgiveness for her being rude in that situation. And as a result of that, I can't remember anything that has inspired me as much to try to become an example in the Christian life as that did. And just recently, started reviewing my old verses again. I had a stack of them that I hadn't reviewed for about 6 months. And started doing that again, and really, I just started to sharpen up the areas of my Christian life that I'd been slack in. But this is a possibility for girls if they're really, I think this is one of the reasons why the position of being a follower is a real position of strength. Like I really need advice in my Christian life. So Max Barnett is on furlough this semester. And I've tried to really place myself under Dave Johns. I know he'll be hearing this probably, but not for any particular, not because he's more mature a Christian than I am, although he is. Not for that reason, but just because I need somebody I can go to and ask questions to, give that person to God, and then whatever that person says, that goes. In other words, we discuss it, and their final decision is my final decision, because God works through that person. This is the way, of course, it ought to be with our parents. With girls and dating, you really have a position of strength, because you can really inspire the other person and really learn to be a servant in the dating relationship. I don't think the guy's position is... I think it's a real position of strength, too, because the guy can come up with if his life is right, God will give him creativity to make dating exciting for a number of people around him, not just the particular girl that he asked out, but for a number of people around him. Dating would be real exciting. So I really think this is an exciting area. I have to say, most of the time, dating's the most exciting area of my life. Football's not, and a lot of times even my personal relationship with God is not. But I think next to your personal relationship with God and just your real close friends, dating ought to be maybe the most exciting area of your life. It ought to really be a valuable area, an area in which you really get to know God closer and you really learn how to relate to other people and how to involve other people with Jesus Christ. So this is a seminar, so y'all can ask questions at any time you want to. Just raise your hand. Last time nobody asked any questions, so I'd really appreciate it when I don't make a point clear. If you just raise your hand and have me go back over it or something, so I'll get some feedback. Okay, what's one? A purpose for dating. Well, I think a purpose for dating, introduce other people to Jesus Christ or to Christians, and introduce Christians to each other. This doesn't mean be a matchmaker. I don't mean that. But it's just in time which people can get involved in interpersonal relationships with each other. And I know a lot of this you may not really get because your thinking is a little different than mine on dating. My orientation on dating, most of you think of it as when one person gets to know one other person. Well, you shouldn't make your mind think that way. Whenever you think of a date, the next thing you ought to think of is how can I get other people involved in this relationship. I've asked a girl out to the Greek Independent game, and I was pretty confident in the date. And before I'd ask her out, I'd already asked five other guys to go to the Greek Independent game. If she wasn't going out, I'd ask somebody out. But see, immediately when you think of an idea for a date, you ought to immediately think, how can I get other people involved in that date? And girls, you might make suggestions, like a guy asks you out and you want to accept, you might, hey, can we invite so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? And it ought to be, every date almost, it ought to just build to almost a party, you know. And not really every date, but it ought to be where you get other people involved. In other words, don't think of it as a time in which you try to get to know that one person, but it's a time in which two people together try to involve a lot of other people in getting to know Jesus Christ better and to getting to know Christians better. And see, this is one way you involve people who aren't Christians in dating. I know, I think it's a couple of times this has really been valuable, to invite people who aren't Christians to come along. In a group situation, you don't want to ever date a non-Christian singly, but in a group situation, it's possible you aren't their personal date. I'll make this clear right now. You aren't their personal date, but they are invited to go along with the group singly. And you can really get other people involved in Jesus Christ if you'll just think in that direction. Okay, then how to go about, once you've got a purpose, for that's your purpose, then how to go about dating. A guy should, a way to go about dating, one of the main ways is to build the qualities of a good wife into the girl he's dating. In other words, that means before a guy's old enough to date, he has to know what the qualities of a good wife are by the Bible. He has to develop the standards of a good wife. Guys, remember, you probably will never, no man marries a good wife because good wives are developed through the marriage relationship. In other words, no matter a non-Christian wife who really has developed, if she's been a wife for 20 or 30 years, probably a lot better wife to begin with right now than just a Christian who's just beginning to become a wife, because it's a learning process. But it needs to be started before the girl ever gets married to becoming a good wife. And so a guy needs to know those and ask God really to help him to discern different qualities in a girl that she needs to develop, and then helpful ways to develop those. Like one of the things, Proverbs 31 says a girl needs to be able to choose between wool and flax. She needs to be able to judge the quality of cloth. And I was talking to Linda Reed. She's from Phillips, that's right. She's Linda Reed's from Phillips. And she's in fashion merchandising. And I began to talk to her, and she says they teach them to be able to judge the quality of the cloth just by feeling it. There's certain things. Some weaves are closer together. Some are farther apart. Some companies make cheaper cloth by not making the weaves as close together. And there's different type of cloth. And, you know, I'd say, well, I had on these pants. And I said, well, what are those? Are these pretty good quality pants? Because they've been real good pants. I've had them for a long time. And she said, well, they look like they got pretty close weave and all this. But a girl needs to be able to judge the quality of cloth. And so one of the things a guy might do is set up a situation in which, like I would maybe with Linda sometime, get together and have several girls and several guys come around. She could show the girls real quickly how to judge the quality of cloth. But there's all kinds of things in Proverbs like that that girls need to know. The skills of being a wife and just a woman, the skills of being a woman. But that's one way to go. That's not a reason to date, but that's a way to go about dating after you've already got a reason. And then girls, you need to learn how to make a man successful. You do the work and he gets the credit. And this is the main quality about being a servant in the Bible too, is you do the work, the other person gets the credit. In any area of servanthood, is learning how to make other people successful through your work. And so that's what girls think. Girls really need to learn how to. Most guys, we're really bumblers when it comes to dating. You know, we come along slower, a lot dumber in this area. And so y'all really need to learn how to make this successful. Okay, how old do you need to be able to date? There's three areas you need to know about when you'll be old enough to date. One, you need to know the benefits and the dangers of dating. You need to know both sides. Just benefits first. I just wrote down a few. These are from a guy's point of view. Etiquette. Girls really sharpen a boy's manners. Coarseness. Girls, I notice even the Christian guys in our dorm, the more and more we don't date, like a guy hadn't dated for several months, you can tell it because he begins to get a little coarser in his language as the months go by. And girls really sharpen up the guy, especially in language and in other areas in which men are just a little rougher and not as sensitive as girls are. And in inspiration, there's nothing like a girl really, really humbling herself. And that girl did, and really just inspiring the guy to be an example to her. And then, of course, you just get a woman's point of view, which is always nice. And companionship, fun, joy, there's a lot of benefits. Of course, dangers, just immorality, improper use of time, the emotional strain, especially when you think you're going to lose your boyfriend or girlfriend, improper use of money, and it also stunts other friendships, maybe in breadth and depth. And I noticed one of the things, like when a boy and a girl get to liking each other, they'll try to separate themselves from the group. And this is another place where you've got your head just on backwards. When you begin to like a girl, or a girl begins to like a boy, you should involve yourself in the group. For example, I started studying with her. And there's a place in the library. I always study, and I stopped studying that area. And we started studying by ourselves. And so I ended up telling her, I'm going to go back to studying in the first floor in the southeast corner where I've always studied. So if you want to study with me, you can come down there and study. I still want to study with her, but we should stay with the group. And so there's about 20, 25 BSU kids that study in that area. So I should stay with the group when you begin dating. Okay, know the benefits and dangers. A guy should know the good wife and the loose woman, and probably a girl should know what a slothful man is like. Proverbs talks about the sluggard, the slothful man. If you ever marry one of those, you won't be happy in marriage. A guy needs to know the good wife so he can begin to develop those qualities in her. And then a guy needs to know the loose woman. And the reason a guy needs to know what a loose woman is like, because he needs to avoid her like the plague. You see, because God knows, I know a lot of you girls think that all guys are bad. Because everyone tried something. But God knows that a guy will never be able to resist a loose woman if he continues to be around her and be around her. This doesn't mean you first date. Something's wrong with the guy if it happens first date. But if he's, every time you begin dating somebody and you get involved and then something happens, there's something wrong in the girl's life because a guy knows which girls may do something wrong and which girls won't. It's just a kind of sixth sense that God will give him. Because God knows a guy must avoid her because he cannot continually be with her night after night or week after week and resist her. And so his primary responsibility is to avoid. A girl's primary responsibility is often to resist. So the girls resist and the guys avoid. And girls are given just greater strength in this area, I feel. And so a guy needs to know this woman, everything about her you can think of. A guy ought to know more about the way a girl ought to make up her face than the girl does. He ought to know more about eye makeup. More about the dresses she wears, the friends, keeps, talks, walks, sits, everything about her, and it's all in Proverbs. And the way to dig it out, there's only 12 passages in Proverbs, I think, on the loose woman. And so you go through these, read these, and try to apply these verses to different parts of the human body. In other words, if it says something about her eyes, well, you try to think about all the practical things you know about different types of girls and the way they make up their eyes. Maybe it talks about the way she talks, and there's several verses on this, but you try to think of the words different girls have used in the past, and you know what they use. And so you think through their word choice, their tonal patterns, things like this, how they do things. Now this is kind of like one of the things I picked up, but there's all kinds of signs you picked up. Of course, in high school, I speak from a position of weakness a lot on dates because the mistakes I did make. But I remember one girl, my high school girlfriend, when she took off her, I took her in, and we'd sit and we'd watch TV. When she took off her shoes, she was ready to kiss. If she didn't, she wasn't. But there's different things, just really things a guy should know about girls in order to be able to avoid the wrong type of girl. Because no matter how it happens to the greatest Christian leaders, they may be counseling a girl and she's this way. There's no way if he continues being with her that he can resist her. I think God will give real grace if the guy is really right in this area, and he'll be able to be, I know some men are really gifted. I think like one is Bob Harrington, who worked at Chaplain Bourbon Street, really gifted to be able to be in that area for a long period of time without making a mistake in this area. But I don't know, he probably has to be real careful. But a guy really needs to be careful in this area. And then, of course, a girl knowing the slothful man, she would have insights in the slothful man that God would not give a man. She would, because a girl needs to know this, and like God would give a man insights in a loose woman that he would never give a girl. I think the reason is, girls, when you're dealing with other girls, you can get in, you can get personally involved, ask her questions, and really get personal with her. And you know what type of girl she is by how you get to know her. A guy doesn't have that opportunity, so he needs to know immediately what type of girl she is. And then, of course, it's the same thing, only working the other way, and girls knowing what guys are like. And then the third thing is just a purpose not to lower your standards to get a date. You ought to have certain standards. And I think you ought to set your standards as high as you really feel like you can, because God will always honor that. You can't set your standards for a date high enough that God can't work through. I think that's really valuable. I know when I first started setting some standards, I thought, there's no way God can work around those. Those are just too high for any girl to meet. And suddenly, I discovered that there were many girls in BSU that I'd never noticed before that met those standards. And that was really amazing to me. Probably one of the things why guys don't think there's any girls around who really are getting with it is because God didn't want to show them any girls that are really, really getting with it in the Christian life. We're really Christians because God didn't want that guy around those girls. He'd destroy their lives if he got involved with them. I found as soon as I got my standards straight, boy, just God provided all sorts of creative situations in which I got to know girls who were interested in the same thing I was. Okay, win the day. Now that you're old enough, and I would really, if you're dating, I didn't, when I found out that a guy needed to know a good wife and a loose woman, I didn't stop dating. But you need to get on those areas and study them as quickly as possible. Just read through Proverbs, pick out all the verses on the good wife, or all the negative verses on a good wife. In other words, it says what a bad wife is like. You just flip it over and take the opposite, and the loose woman, and study those and get those as soon as you can. It'll really give you a lot of extra sensitivity in the dating area. Okay, win today. First is when God leads you into a group situation. Like one of the players who's married now invited me to come over to his house and eat and invite a date. So I considered that God's leading into a group situation. And so I asked a date for that. I ended up asking my sister. The second time is when you thought through an idea for a group situation. In other words, when you've really thought through something, that's the time to get a date. Guys ought to be creative in this area. And I think girls would really be helpful. When you come up with some general ideas and then talk to a girl about it that you'd like to ask out, she'll be really able to help you in the details and things like this after you've shared with her some of your general ideas. And so you think through a group situation. Dalton Eads is one of the directors here, and I've just been out with her a couple of or three times. And the purpose of my first asking her out, I asked her out to eat dinner with her at noon. And kind of one of the purposes of asking her out was to talk to her about how we could get football players to know some of the girls over at the BSU. Because we were always involved over at the athletic dorm, and they'd get to know girls in their classes who weren't Christians, and when they really wanted a date, they'd ask them instead of asking girls that they should be asking. And we really had a good time for about 2 or 3 weeks there planning kind of a party in which we'd invite girls and guys just to be together. And we really had a good time. Karen came, and I don't believe I ever had a better time and a more meaningful time, because that date was really valuable, because I put a lot of work and time and invaluable time. Time which I could have spent elsewhere. I could have, in the time it took us to have that one date, probably could have had 2 or 3, But it was more meaningful. I probably got to know Dalta better through that, because seeing her work, seeing the ideas she gave me, and then also developing me trying to lead something and push it through to the end until it's the whole thing really got planned and finished. It was so much more valuable than having 2 or 3 dates over that 3-week period, and each one of them being real cheap and not being very meaningful in itself. And I got to know her a lot better too. So, planning group situations. Okay, now let's say you don't. The third situation is having an older Christian plan a group situation. And this is a situation, I think, and when you can do the work and make another person successful, in which you can really be a servant. I haven't come into this situation yet, because I'm usually planning my own. I think it's a lot more fun that way. But say you didn't know a girl, or this is just an idea, you didn't know a girl or a boy well enough, a boy didn't know a girl well enough to ask him out for a date, or a girl didn't know a boy well enough that she thought he would ask her out. Well, what you might do is go to like maybe a Christian couple who you really admire, been dating for a while, or maybe just a single guy who's been leading a good Christian life, and ask him to plan a group situation in which y'all do something together. And what you do is you do the work, and he plans it, and you know he leads it, and then you invite several people, like three or four here and three or four there, and y'all do something together. And in that situation, you can get to know the guy or the girl that you're thinking about. And one thing that I don't think you... Okay.
Is this a good time to invite someone that's non-Christian?
Okay, yes. This is also when you're planning a group situation like this. Both 1, 2, and 3. Any time you have a date is a good time to get non-Christians involved. Whenever you have a date, just think, how can I get other people involved? Because there's a lot of things you can do with people who are not Christians that are just natural things, and you can really, you know, be able to share with them and talk with them. But you're right. This is a good time. And just to get to know the other person. And of course, it's also this is the best time to learn to really be a servant. So if you go to another person and you want them to be the leader, you don't feel like you can be the leader. But see, you can be the servant. You can supply ideas. You can do this, do that. They make the final decision, but you can do all the work. And yet, when the party comes and they're the leader, they'll get all the credit. And that'll probably be a real good experience for you, is not getting any credit for something that you did all the work for. Okay, now who to ask? I'd ask only a Christian for a personal date, like when we're talking about a group situation. Of course, you can invite non-Christians there, not as personal dates, but, you know, just being part of the group when you're doing something together. And not a loose woman, and I wouldn't accept a date with a guy who you think is a slothful man. What you really do when you accept a date with somebody who doesn't meet your standards, of course, first it affects your personal life and lowering your own standards, but it also affects all kinds of people around you. Like, I know I asked a girl for a date one time, and within, of course, I think I probably get this a little more than most people do, but within a day, it came to me from two different directions that I'd asked this girl out for a date. And so, boy, anytime you ask a guy, I mean, ask a girl out for a date or a girl accepts a date with a guy, it affects all kinds of people. And they all judge you by this area, because this area is so important to most people. And, of course, it's important to me. It's so important to everybody that they all judge you by what you do in this area. In fact, a guy can be almost perfect in his Christian life in every area but this area, and nobody will think of him as a good Christian. And he can blow other areas, just blowing the bits. And if he really does a good job in his relationship with girls, and through that his relationship with the people around and the dating relationship, everybody will think he's a great Christian, because this area is so important. Okay. Not a loose woman. And then not a person you don't know. And what do you need to know about them? Outward appearance, just some quality indicators. You need to have a person who's in authority, opinion of them. In other words, whenever you go to date a person or accept a date, you need to get all kinds of authorities, opinion about this person. That person's the person in authority above that person, the person in authority in your life, your boss. This doesn't mean your boss at work, but maybe your parents. Like, one of the deals, I guess, I wouldn't trade this experience for $1 million. And I mean truthfully. So when I started to get a date with a girl, this just happened this last week. In fact, Thursday night, I called her father and asked for permission. And I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. What I did, I asked her Bible study leader if I could date her. Then I asked mine if I could date her. Then I asked her to ask her if I could ask her father's permission to date her. Then I asked her father's permission to date her, and then I asked her. And I wouldn't trade going through that experience for anything. It just changes your whole feeling toward a girl when you really place yourself under all the authority around both of your lives and really try to make it in right in the way as you can. Okay, not a girl you don't know. Get authority's opinion. And the third thing is you need to know the basic activities she's involved in. Like a girl who's just involved in all kinds of activities, I won't date. Because I know God doesn't lead that way. God leads a person to depth in his life, not breadth. He wants the person to get depth and really develop real qualities in certain areas of his life. So when a girl's involved in BSU, Campus Crusade, Young Life, and she goes to all the meetings and everything, I know that girl's not playing for God. She's playing for herself or somebody else. I don't know what she's doing. But I know it's not good because God leads a person to concentrate in certain areas of his life. He doesn't deal just with a whole bunch of areas like that. Okay, and then another thing about how well you need to get to know her, it kind of depends on what you're going to do. Like the size of a group, the larger the group, the less well you need to know her. When it comes down to just a personal date, you really need to be good friends. And also the activity makes a difference. Like if you're concentrating on the activity and the girl is just there, you don't need to know her as well as if you're concentrating on the girl and the activity is just there. Like if you go bowling. Well, bowling's just the activity there. It's not what you're concentrating on. You concentrate on the girl and you just kind of bowl to have something to do. Karen? Oh. I wouldn't go out. That's kind of hard to say. I don't believe in blind dates. See, what I wrote down, I've got written down here about accepting a blind date. When you accept a blind date, you're saying, I will date anything that is alive and walks and talks. In other words, you just lower yourself to the lowest possible position a girl or guy could lower themselves to. And this doesn't mean, you know, doesn't carry any bad connotations in our society to go out like that, but I think it would be best not to. And I don't, maybe God, I think if God would, if you'd really like settle this, if a person would settle this area in their mind that they're not going to do it, I think if they do that, God would give them real creative ideas of how to get around doing that. Like maybe as soon as this happens, next time you know how it happens usually or who calls, you might have a creative idea in which y'all could really have a meaningful day. Like if it's, maybe you know a player and he's calling you. I know we're the ones that usually get stuck with that. Having to call around and get different girls to go out. And I used to do, and I did that when I was a sophomore. I refused to take around recruits for a good while now, or tried to get out the best way I could. But I think God would really give you creativity in this area, in which if you know several of the people that will be going, you could really plan a situation. And probably the athletic department would really appreciate that, you know, because that would really impress the recruit, having something really planned for him rather than just heading for a date to go to the show or something. I think that's a real area. I hadn't thought about that. That's a real area of possibility for creativity on a person's part. But just, you know, say, just tell God, I'm not going to do that anymore. And if it comes to it where you just have to be really rude not to do it, say, God, I'm going to really be rude to that person, but I'm not going to do it. And then I think God will really give you creativity to ideas to think about, well, how could I turn that situation that's put onto me into something in which I could really introduce other people to Jesus Christ? Like you may know a couple of guys that are Christians. And you explain the situation and tell them it's just as soon as this happens next spring that you want to get together and really plan something and y'all really get that recruit for your school, no matter what. So That would be a real opportunity that God could bring into your life, I think. But as far as blind dates, I just, as a general rule, I just say never. Although I've been on, I used to go on them. And the fourth thing is not a girl that would create a competitive situation. You don't, like a girl and then a roommate, or just, or girls that are real close friends, something like that. How to ask for a date for a guy. I think the main thing about asking for a date, of course, you just include something about the date. But you give her, you call enough ahead of time to give her time to make up her mind or to consult the people that she needs to consult with. In other words, you need to respect the girl's decision in the matter and give her enough time. Like if I call up Dalta, I know she's under Carolyn, and I really respect her relationship with Carolyn. And so, when, you know, if Carolyn has got something for her to do, I would really rather her do what Carolyn has for her to do, her leader, than what I have for her to do. Because it's just, I know she needs to learn to be under authority. And so really respect, like a boy, guy needs to respect a girl's parents and what they have for her to do. And if a girl's parents do not want me to date her, it may be God telling them, and I just assume that God doesn't want me to date her. And see, I think God can speak through, and I think God can speak through non-Christian parents just as easy as Christian parents. There's nowhere in the Bible that says God's in control of Christians and not in control of non-Christians, as far as working in my life. And so you need to call enough ahead of time to really show respect for the girl's schedule. Especially if it's a really big event, not more than a week, I would always suggest a week ahead of time. And don't call late at night, call early in the evening or in the afternoon. And then refusing a date for the girl's thing you need to do is refuse the date, not the guy. One of the ways to do this is to get your father in on the action and really place yourself below him. And the way to do this is go to him, tell him the situation, tell him what you'd like to do. And this is even if you're off at school and your father's back at home. Get in with him and say, I really need help in dating different guys. And I'd like to, you know, have your opinion on every guy I date. And so when a guy calls for the first date, you say, well, I would really appreciate it if you talked to my father. I really look to him for advice in this area. And you think, well, I would never be able to get it. No guy would ever call my father. But you would be surprised what I think that would do to a guy who's really interested in you. How it would just would build his respect for that girl. I know if some girls had ever done that. Boy, that would have just increased my respect for that girl. Untold amounts. I couldn't explain probably what that would do to a guy. Of course, if he doesn't like you, it just ended. And if a guy's not willing to spend, even if it's a long distance call, spend $2 or $3 or $4. America's rich enough; he ought to be willing to spend $10 or $20 or $100 to be able to get a date with you. If you aren't that valuable to him, it's not worth going out with him. And so this is one thing to do, and I'm not sure all the ways to go. You'd have to figure out the ways to do it and go about it. But it'd be an area in which you could really begin to get some insight and how to refuse a date. And see, and then it also gives the opportunity for a girl to talk to the father between the time the guy calls her father and asks permission for the date. She could just say, Dad, I really like this one, and your father really began to trust you. In other words, you think your parents are going to make all the decisions, but as soon as they really trust you, they give the freedom back to you, and then you're really free to do what you wanted to, and you'd say, Dad, I really want to go out with this, and why don't you tell him yes? And your father can get on the phone, boy, yeah, I'd really like you to go have it, and he can be really enthusiastic, and that'll really encourage the guy. Or if it's a guy you don't want to date, but you think, well, I might want to date him in the future sometime, so I don't want to refuse him and make him mad at me. You can tell your father and just say, you can say, put your thumb down and say, Dad, say no. And your dad would do that for you. I think most fathers really care that much about their daughters. I think if they really have had an opportunity to really be an important part of your life. Okay, but that's just an idea. That's not what I got through saying, is not a goal, but that's just something to start with in your dating life and learning how to do certain things. Okay, how to accept a refusal. A guy ought to always be ready for the girl to say no. And this can do a couple of things. One, it can, when she does accept, you're happy with it, and it's not just blah. You know, well, I expected her to accept, so she accepted. So I've got a date. But you ought to be always expecting the girl to say no. And then when she does say no, you ought to respect her. A guy ought to show respect for her decision and maybe explain why, or why he respects her decision. Like if she tells him she's got this certain deal planned, he says, oh, well, that ought to be good. That ought to really help you in a certain area of your life or something. I really respect you for doing that or something like that. And the guy will have a lot better chance in the future to have a meaningful relationship with that girl if he does respect her decision as far as accepting or refusing a date. I wouldn't be overjoyed if she doesn't refuse, though. I mean, if she does refuse. Then beginning a date, a guy needs to look over, this is before he ever goes and picks up the girl, look over the qualities of a good wife, ask God to help him spot distorted qualities or things that he could help with, and then read his Bible and pray before ever leaving to pick up the girl. This is, you might do this sometimes to start a date, but this is before you ever go to pick her up. And then to begin a date, a guy should know why he's looking forward to the date and tell the girl, and the girl should do the same thing with the guy. So there's a little meaning and purpose in the date. And with the girl, I mean, after the guy picks up the girl, he should thank God for the date. In other words, if the girl lets him. In other words, he should say, Dalton, would you let me thank God for the date tonight? And I've never had a girl refuse. And then you just, a couple sentences like, Father, I really thank you for Dalton's life, and I thank you for the opportunity to get to know her better tonight. And I just give the date to you for whatever glory, for your glory and whatever you would want to happen. Amen. And I've done that with several girls. I don't do it all the time. It's not a habit. I just do it when I think of it. But it does add a special something, a special quality to the date that's not there when you don't begin the date, both of you giving the date to God. Okay, one of the most interesting verses, I think, in Proverbs as far as what time of day. Okay, but you might think about that morning and evening. I mean, morning and afternoon. Etiquette, treat her like a queen. Anything a guy can think of to make the girl feel more, I don't know, the only word I can think of is queen, but doors, helping her with her coat, anything you can think of to do in that area, etiquette, he ought to do. And then last thing I had was how to end a day. One of the things that's been helpful, plan a time to end it. You know it, she knows it, others know it. Like you may have rules about when to leave. Like if you've been dating a girl a while, you might have the rule. You kiss once and that's it. The guy has to leave after he kisses her once. Something like that. Just a rule to help the guy get out of the house. And have a commitment after the date. Like one of the things I've found that can be helpful is like if you know some Christians in the dorm, or like I know some of the football players, I'll say, hey, y'all want to go get a pizza at 11:30? And then that means I have to leave her dorm by 11:15 to be back at 11:30 to go do something with the guys. And it really helps you. And you don't, it just takes a lot of pressure off the date. And you meant the date may be shorter, but it's more valuable. And then the final thing, what to say at the end of the day. I know often what we say, we lead a person to really, we build ourselves up. In other words, you look toward the future and you try to build the person up toward the future. And then the person, when you don't fulfill their expectations, the person's hurt. Or even if you do fulfill them, it's nothing new. You said you were going to do it. So one of the things at the end of the day is always to concentrate back over the day. In other words, say something good about what's gone on. Don't ever say anything about the future at the end of the day. And see, then if something, like if the guy never says anything about the future, and then when he does ask the girl out for a date, she's happy because he didn't say he was, and now he has. You know, she wasn't. There's a little bit of surprise element there. But if he just says, "Well, I'll call you Tuesday or call you Wednesday," well, she was expecting to call him Tuesday, Wednesday, and no surprise, and it's just not quite as much fun. And then if he doesn't call her, she's disappointed in him because he hadn't lived up to her expectations of him. And so one of the things that's been helpful to me is just always just concentrate backward, especially at the end of the day. Sometimes during the middle of a date, we'll get to talking about different things that will be going on. In other words, you kind of let the other person know your schedule. But at the end of the day, when something meaningful should be said, in other words, each person is trying, I know on a date, trying to think of something that would really make the other person feel special and feel wanted, and concentrate back over the date and think through what has happened. And think of something you can say about what has happened that would really be meaningful to the other person. And that way you won't build unnecessary expectations in their life. And then when something good does happen, it'll be a surprise and it'll be better. And y'all'll be a lot more happier with each other. Okay. I might say this just to end it. What I said tonight, this morning, is not to try to limit you in the dating, but just see how you can make yourself a more effective person, just a happier person in the Christian life, in being able to really come up with creative ideas in the area of dating, and really make a meaningful part of your life, something that's really exciting, rather than something that's just a habit that you just do it because everybody else does it. Okay, may we pray. Father, I thank you for the men and women in here right now, and thank you that you can make each one of their lives really exciting in the area of being with opposite sex and getting to know other boys and girls and men and women really do think, and how the opposite sex responds to us. I know, Father, this is a real exciting area in my life. I know it became as exciting as a result of really giving it to you and concentrating on you, number one, seeking your kingdom first, and then all these other things can be ours as well. And I thank you for that promise. Just bless us the rest of the days. Go through the conference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.